Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah. We'll get into all of that and more right here to talk about the season ending, contracts extending, you got Senior Bowls, you got combines and all the fun stuff, Pro Bowl coming up in an off season that doesn't lead to a Super Bowl. He's with the USA Today. He's on the Window Nation's guest hotline, Ravens Wire, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's still not fun to have the Ravens in off-season mode, but here we are, an opportunity to improve, and the content never stops, and the news never stops, because, of course, the Ravens finalize an extension with Todd Monken, and that's something that is a big piece of news.
Yeah, and Never Stop, Never Stopping, that old movie from a few years ago. But Monken gets his extension, and I think it's a well-deserved one, and yay, flirted with head coaching opportunities. But with Zach Orr, real quick, how much did he rehabilitate his reputation that was shaky in the eyes of the fan base, Kevin? Let's stress, not within the confines of one winning drive, but a lot of fans thought he was over his head. How much has that changed now that we sit here and look at things a week plus since the end of the season?
Yeah, I think it really was a night and day difference in terms of how Zach Orr is perceived in the fan base. And I can certainly tell that, because when Zach Orr started this thing off, when he was hired, there was always going to be some level of growing pains getting adjusted. I mean, Zach Orr had never called plays at any level before. You know, obviously he played for 3 years in Baltimore and had a football career, so that helped him. But I think that people saw the Mike McDonald path, and that path for Mike McDonald took a little bit less time for him to get acclimated. I mean, obviously McDonald had that bad Dolphins game in week two, but really recovered after that and took off. But for Zach Orr, it really was the first half of the season, and everyone is kind of like, well, okay, maybe next week. And I think that, again, a lot of the conversations that were being had, and the players were telling us this through their press conferences and their availabilities, but it was a lot of communication issues and player-oriented things, but obviously it does all fall back on the coach. And I'm not saying Zach Orr was perfect. There were certainly situations where, you know, he wasn't calling the right stuff, this, that, and the other. But, I mean, look, we saw a second half of the season, just an absolute transformation, obviously, that did start by benching some guys and getting rid of some guys. But I think Orr learned a lot. Dean Pease coming in helped, and that, I think, was a good relationship that Orr and Pease had. So the way that Zach Orr is perceived over that first 2 months of the season, I mean, people were second-guessing it. I know we were on here talking about, like, okay, when is the good stuff going to come here for Zach Orr in this defense? And again, second half of the season, it was absolutely lights out.
Well, back to that point, Kevin, you know, I think that the Ravens, you know, not only us, you know, criticizing, I mean, and we were talking it before, you know, he'd never call plays and he's going to go Andy Reid the first game. You know, how's he going to respond? Nobody knew. He didn't even know. And then I think that the Ravens are smart. And then after that Cincinnati game, we're in trouble. He needs help. We need fixing. And then they brought in Dean Pease to kind of settle things down, because it was out of, they were so bad defensively and the communication was so bad. You know, and then like you said, the biggest thing they needed was change of some people in there. And that kind of, you know, putting Kyle Hamilton back there kind of solidified things a little bit and replacing Simpson.
Yeah, it did. And things just didn't work out for those guys. And, you know, I guess the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And if you continue to throw those guys out there, you know, let's say they didn't make those changes and they kept rolling with Marcus and kept rolling with Eddie Jackson and Trent Simpson, like you said, I mean, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about a divisional round exit. Maybe we're talking about, you know, the Ravens are the sixth seed or the seventh seed and they lost in the wild card round because they couldn't stop anybody. So the fact that they were able to make those changes and actually do that, because, again, a lot of teams, Marcus Williams, $70 million man, a lot of teams would probably just kind of do the sunken cost thing and be like, well, we paid him all the money, we might as well play him and get the investment. But the Ravens understood. They knew that they couldn't continue that way. After that Cincinnati game, we all know that the players and the coaches defensively had that meeting and certainly aired out some grievances there. So I think that the way that we saw this defense turn around, you mentioned the role change with Kyle Hamilton or Davis Washington coming in. I think it gives me a lot of hope moving forward for this defense, because it's almost like, okay, we got that out of the way. And now we can move forward here, hopefully with some upgrades personnel-wise. And, you know, it doesn't look like they're losing a lot of coaches this offseason, which is good. Feels like they can really stack on what they had at the end of last season. And if they can upgrade a couple positions, I think they could be in really, really good shape for the entirety of next year, not just half of it like we saw in 2024.
Yeah, Kevin, because you know what? Like, Zach Orr, like right now, you know, he know a year ago at this time when he got hired, he didn't know what he didn't know. He didn't know, okay, I'm the coordinator now. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. You know, and he didn't have a lot of people around him that had a lot of ideas either. So now he's been through it, and I think we're going to see huge improvements. And I think he's gonna be a lot better coordinator going forward, because he knows what he likes, what he doesn't like, what the players can do, and he's much more confident.
Yeah, and that's something that through those first couple of weeks, and especially if you want to talk about Kansas City in Las Vegas, I mean, I agree, and I know we talked about it, where an inexperienced defensive coordinator going up against a future Hall of Fame great in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and that offense, he's been there, done that now. And depending on how the schedule falls, you know, you start off 0-2 in the NFL, and it's going to come back to bite you in some way, shape, or form. Now, Baltimore recovered from it nicely, and they ended up getting the 3 seed, but if they beat Vegas, you know, okay, well, all of a sudden you're the 2 seed, and you have that divisional game at home, and that can make a huge, huge difference. Yep. So that slow start, it did cost the Ravens in a way. I know it didn't cost them in terms of, like, the playoffs or winning their division, but that home playoff game could have made a big difference. So for Zach Orr, having that experience, not getting kind of thrown into the fire there, and having that heading into next season, which the Ravens do have a tough schedule next year, yeah. But now Zach Orr has that experience. I completely agree with you, and I think that a faster start next year is going to be much better, because if they can do that, we know, we talked about it then, September losses, they don't necessarily matter in September. You can come back from it, but they certainly do matter in December, in January, when you're fighting for playoff seeding, fighting for home field advantage, and I think we saw that.
Kevin, what are you expecting year three of Todd Monken?
I think it's going to be great. I mean, I'm really glad the Ravens were able to come and, I guess, you know, finalize this thing with him. I think, to me, one of the big things I'd like to see, and again, you know, you look at all the stats from this year, number one rushing offense, number one passing offense in terms of yards per attempt. They became, you know, a top red zone offense, top third down offense. I just think, for me, the big thing would be just consistency overall. We know the ceiling for this offense is unlimited. Literally, you know, they can go out there and they can put up points with anybody. They can outscore anybody. But I think, to me, one of the big things is some of the consistency in terms of how they start and how they finish games. I think too often we see them either start games super fast and then fizzle out towards the end of the game and can't really get anything going, or they start off super slow and it takes a momentum play, and then once they get going, they're unstoppable, but is that already too big of a hole to come back from? So I think that when this offense is on, it's on. And I think that Lamar and Todd Monken will continue to further their relationship. Obviously, there's a lot of trust there between those two, and just consistency in general with coordinators, especially on good teams, it's pretty hard to find. I mean, Kansas City's been doing it for all these years now with Steve Spagnuolo, but that's a really rare thing. And so for Monken, I think, to me, the big part is just continuing to keep doing what you're doing. I mean, the offense has looked great. I know that it's not perfect, but Monken has the resume. He has the experience, and I think that's all really, really valuable. I think he's a great leader for that group, and I'm excited to see what year three brings, because, to me, I'm big on improvement. In year one, he comes in, he fixes a lot of things. The offense looks good. Year two took it to another level. So year three, I think if that consistency can get better, we're going to see a whole different Ravens offense. And that's honestly kind of weird for me to say, because we already saw such a great one in 2024.
Yeah, you mean the number one offense gets better? What do they got? Average 50 points a game? Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens. Why, real quick, your early impressions of Super Bowl 59, Chiefs 1.5 down at the Superdome.
Yeah, I feel like the Eagles have a better shot this year than they did the first time around. The Eagles are such a well-balanced team, but obviously that Chiefs team has been there. They've done that. They're not fazed by anything, and it seems like when the playoffs come around, they just turn it on to a new level. So if people are picking the Chiefs, I don't blame them. I do think it'll be a close game, though, but a better game this time around for Philadelphia. I just don't know if it's going to result in a win.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Absolutely, guys. You too. Enjoy it. Appreciate you.
There he is, Kevin Allstriker. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Whip around. Coming up next, we got Vinny's breakdown of the rookies. Start handing out some grades. We'll take your phone calls as well at 410-583-1057. Ravens, season is over. Super Bowl is set. Orioles signed Dylan Carlson. Get your October seats ready.
Whip. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
881-057 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's the Whip Around. Orioles yesterday signed Dylan Carlson to a one-year deal. $975,000. Gets over a mil if he gets 200 at-bats. Switch hitter, 26 years old. Coming off an injury-plagued season, St. Louis and Tampa, 209, three homers, 25 ribbies, 563 OPS for his career, 2.37 batting average, 37 homers, 693. Had a great rookie season, was one of the three finalists for Rookie of the Year, which went to Jonathan India. He does, for his career, hit 285 against lefties, which the Orioles could use a bat that could thump left outfielder anyway. They can hit left-handers, so we'll see how this all unfolds. Talk more about that and more with Danielle Allentuck from the Baltimore Banner. Adam Jones yesterday was named as a right-hand man to Mike Elias, and we'll have some of that, I guess, coming your way at some point in time. But Adam Jones, about to be an Oriole Hall of Famer, now joins the front office, so it's good to see some traditional Orioles getting themselves back into the mix here. So we'll talk about that with Danielle as well. Let's see. A little college hoops. Maryland, as we talked about with Kevin Willard last hour, 16-5. Now are the Terps 6-4. They're fifth place in the Big Ten all of a sudden. And they're 27th in the latest AP rankings. They got number 17 Wisconsin tomorrow. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan, and we'll talk more about that with Damon Evans when he joins us during the morning. 7 o'clock tip, check it out on Big Ten Network. Wisconsin struggles on the road, so let's just keep that under advisement. In the Big Ten last night, men, college hoops, Michigan beat Penn State 76-72, coming off that drubbing Michigan at the hands of Purdue over the weekend. Hey, how about Ohio State showing a pulse? 82-65 over Iowa, which helps Maryland. Because Maryland, if you remember, beat them handily back in December. UCLA, don't look now, they're playing really well. 82-76 over USC. There was an upset in the top 25 last night, if you want to call it that, based on rankings, it was. Arizona beat Iowa State 86-75 in overtime. Caleb Love hit a, did you see that shot, Nolan, 60-footer, sent it into OT?
No,
then they
not.
Pull away and win.
Yeah, half court.
Yeah, Iowa State loses in overtime. But Arizona, not unranked, and they were on the verge of getting ranked, and they got blown up by Texas A&M, I think it was. They're 7-1 in the Big 12. So they're a formidable team, but the Cyclones taking it on the chin. Locally, Towson beat Northeastern 75-65. And don't look now, Pat Scary's Tigers 7-1 in the Colonial. Tied for first there. So keep an eye on that one. Maybe multiple NCAA tournament teams coming out of the state of Maryland in the NBA. Dallas beat the Wiz 130-108. It was 42-16 at the end of the first quarter. And it wasn't in favor of the Wizards, just giving you a spoiler alert. Klay Thompson had 23. Bob Carrington had 7 points, one board, one assist. Washington right now, they've lost 14 in a row. 6-39 on the year. 1-21 on the road. And that won't even guarantee him the first pick in the draft because of that stupid lottery. Just ask the White Sox how that works out for them. Or the Pistons multiple times. Hey, the Rockets are good, and they win at Boston last night. 114, 112. Dylan Brooks had 36, made 10 threes. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore was sick, couldn't play last night. How about Miami suspending Jimmy Butler indefinitely? Told him he was riding the pine and he stormed off. Took his basketball with him, 125 to 119. Nothing like petulant adults whining because they don't get their way, but it is what it is. People with money on top of it. 125, 119. Tyler Hero at 30 points, 8 boards, 12 assists. Haywood Highsmith, Maryland, well, from Maryland, Baltimore, Archbishop Curley, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. So he's starting now. Sacramento beat Brooklyn 110-96. Sabonis, how about this one? 21, 22, and 10. That's a triple-double, friends. Alex Len had a rebound. Kevin Huerter grabs a pine, son. DNP, coach's decision. I'm sure it's 60 mil. Well, he's a competitor, so he's probably pissed.
Yeah.
He's falling out of Doug Christie's rotation. The Knicks get medieval on Memphis, 143-106. Bridges at 28. For the Grizzlies, Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, 10 points, 4 boards, and it says there. It was Toronto, 113-104, I should say, over New Orleans. Scotty Barnes was named as the Player of the Week in the East, 21-11-8 for the Raptors. Emmanuel Quickley, the hip, he ain't playing. Bulls beat the Nuggets, 129-121. Zach LaVine at 21 sticks. Jalen Smith, Maryland, Baltimore, Mount St. Joe, 5.7 boards and an assist there. It was Phoenix, 111-109 over the Clippers. Booker at 26. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, DNP, coach's decision. Oh, and I apologize for not mentioning this with Coach Willard. Julian Reese was named as the Naismith Player of the Week. College basketball. So. How about that? There you go. Capitals tonight taking on the Calgary Flames. 9 o'clock Eastern time puck drop there. Caps 71 points tied with Winnipeg for the top spot in the NHL.
Man, Calgary's good at home. And we talked to Joe B. yesterday. He said they've been sitting up in Vancouver for 4 days, which is not a bad place to sit. It's a beautiful city. Calgary, there'll be a lot of cowboy hats and cowboy boots in the stands there. And that's going to be a tough game for the Caps in that one.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. It's the whip around this day in sports history. January 28th, 1976, Cole Fieldhouse, Maryland history. 7th-ranked Terps beat 8th-ranked NC State, 102-84. John Lucas at 34, Mo Howard 25, Brad Davis 14 points, 10 assists there. NFL draft history is reading close to that. Matter of fact, talking to John Cooper about that, because what, you got 30 of the 32 spots already ready to rock and roll? 1969, the juice is loose. Coming out of USC, number one pick by the Buffalo Bills. 1971, Jim Plunkett, New England Patriots. Out of Stanford, both Heisman Trophy winners. In 1975, Mike Preston, Steve Barkowski was the number one pick in the draft out of Cal. Atlanta Falcons. Colts actually had the number one pick in the draft, traded it for Ken Huff and George Kuntz. And that turned the team around. Steve Barkowski, aside from having great curly blonde hair, did go to the playoffs a couple of times for the Grits Blitz Falcons there. How about some Super Bowls? 1990 in New Orleans. Super Bowl 24, 49ers edged the Broncos 55-10. Mm-hmm. Joe Montana, 5 touchdowns, was most valuable player. National anthem, Aaron Neville. Halftime, Pete Fountain. Doug, Irene Thames. And Doug, guy who is writing, I can't understand because I wrote it down. All New Orleans themed, as you would expect. CBS on the call. Pat Summerall, John Madden. 73 million people watched that one. Hey, Cowboys fans. Rashawn. Might have been before you were born, but the Cowboys actually won a Super Bowl before. And it happened on this day 29 years ago in Tempe, Arizona, as they beat the Steelers 27-17. Larry Brown, Neil O'Donnell, Maryland gave him the MVP by throwing him 2 interceptions right into his hands. Vanessa Williams sang the national anthem. Diana Ross, halftime. NBC on the call, Dick Enberg, Phil Simms, and Paul McGuire. 95 million people on the watch there. And then on this day, 24 years ago in Tampa, Florida, well, if you know, you know.
Tim Collins with time. It is tipped in the air and intercepted. Jamie Sharper with the football. Collins pumps, goes, throws it over, and it is intercepted at the 2-yard line by Chris McAllister.
Sometimes, because they can see the big hits coming.
Picked off. Dwayne Stark's going to take it to the end zone for the touchdown.
Greg Gumbel, the late great, on the call. Super Bowl 35, Tampa, Florida, the Baltimore Ravens. blow out the Giants 34-7. You heard three picks there. Dwayne Starks with the pick six. Chris McAllister's won me $500 because he got 0-0 on the block at the end of the first half, which was great. Ray Lewis, MVP of the game. Backstreet Boys, national anthem. Halftime, Aerosmith, Britney Spears, Nolan, Nelly, Mary J. Blige,
wow.
And NSYNC. And here's a true story because I don't lie. I went to the NSYNC press conference with Stacey Keibler because she had a crush on the NSYNC guy, Lance Bass.
Huh.
And as history has proven, Lance Bass probably would not have been interested in her overtures.
What a crew there. Bob Haney, Stacey Keibler.
That's right. Mark Messina, me, Spiro. Keith Mills. Oh, what a day. Interviewed Don Shula, late great Gary Premier. Oh, Super Bowl week's awesome. But yes, I was there to see NSYNC's press conference. And when she said, I like Lance Bass, I tapped out. Good. I'm out. See? We'll come back. It's Vinny and Haney. What up? True story. Vinny and Haney. What up? 5-7 the Fan. Take your phone calls. Vinny's going to break down the rookie class of 24 for your Baltimore Ravens. Terps tomorrow against Wisconsin. Maryland wins because they get a week off, basically. They'll probably be ranked next week. Wisconsin not all that great at home, but neither was Maryland. And they go 2-0 at Illinois at Indiana. Dylan Carlson signs with the Orioles. Not a needle mover, but a piece. Who knows? Maybe stacking outfielders to make a blockbuster. Because Seattle looks to be Mike King and Castillo and Ken Rosenthal could be available. They're both going to want money. Castillo signed. King's wanted $8 million or something crazy in arbitration. So who knows? Maybe Mike Elias has something up his sleeve under the advisement of Adam Jones here moving forward. But let's get out to the phones before we break down the rookie class of 24 for your Ravens. Let's go to Woodbury. It's Joe. Joe, thanks for holding. What's up?
The wind just went down my street and it sounded like a 747. Anyway, missed you yesterday, Bob.
I was at my urologist yesterday. I don't want to get too graphic, but you know what? If you know what a urologist is, my pants were down.
And you were greased. I understand, Rob.
And that's before I even got his office. It was crazy.
Bob, the guy, we call him Dr. Updike. That's his nickname. But anyway, Bob.
All I felt was two hands on my shoulders, and it was a crazy thing.
Well, I had my hands over my eyes. Anyway, I ain't want to see it. But anyway, you talked about so much. All right, with the Oreo, with the sign and this guy, that reminded me of just somebody standing out there with a blindfold swinging at a piano. Piano, whatever.
Pinata.
Yeah, pinata. Okay, that's what that reminds me of. And I'm speaking about, I want y'all to play this game with me whenever y'all get a chance. I call it mix and match. I'm taking Mahomes off the Chiefs. I'm taking certain quarterbacks, putting it on Kansas City, seeing if they'd miss a beat. I'm taking Mahomes and putting him around the league where they make the teams any better. It's sort of like, because I'm thinking about that, was it Brady or is it Belichick? Well, Brady left there, went to Tampa Bay and won the Super Bowl. So what is it? Is it the coach, the team, the general, just the whole makeup of the team? But anyway, I made a statement yesterday to Vinny and Cordell. Now, you know, you trade off pieces and you give up things to make your team better. Now, one thing I like about Jason Lagerfeuer, he got statistics and stats on things you never thought keeping them on, especially like drop passes on passes your court, when you dropped them, what down you dropped them on, the day you dropped them on. And I told Vinny and yesterday, I see a little decline in our tight end, which became number one because when Lamar came in the league, he really had nobody else to throw to. So that's what made him look so spectacular at the time. Lamar had nobody else to throw to but him, and he shined.
Well, they came in at the same time. They kind of were together.
Yes, and Vinny, he was 86 overall. It got him in the third round, as I thought, in the third round. So anyway, Bob, I talked about dangling him out there for a draft pick because, some people say, well, you wouldn't get a one for him, but I never said I would. But a good two be all right with me because we got Kohler coming back and Andrew's been on that line and he still ain't never blocked.
Nope.
And likely he's a
stud, right? But they're all entering the last year, right?
I'm about to get to that.
I'll sit back. I'll drink my coffee.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Kohler's come back. He's a good blocker. Now, that's what I'm saying. Jason Locke keeps statistics on so many things. He got statistics on how many blocks Andrews misses on run plays. And I'm like, did he really miss that many? So anyway, I'm dangling him out there, Bob, because I'm like, I will trade him off. That's a good hit on the cap. And I'm wondering, Vinny, can you move Stanley inside? Because you're saying he's a cap hit. Other than that, he's gone. Because we do need some better pieces. And I could say more, but I don't want the Apollo Sandman to yank me off. Yeah. So I'm just going to say, those are the things I want y'all to think about. Because especially that mix and match with Mahomes. Because I'm telling you right now, if I took Lamar and put it with Kansas City, they wouldn't miss a beat. I think if I put Josh Allen there, they wouldn't miss a beat. But I think if Mahomes was here, we'd still be in the same boat we're in. But the thing about it, that team doesn't make – I'll be waiting for them to make a mistake. I'll be praying that they make mistakes. They don't make mistakes like other teams. Why? Y'all tell me why, and that's the million-dollar question. All Have a great day.
Thank you, Joe. Oof. Wow. He said the wind rolled down his street. The wind just rolled through here. Oh. And by the way, I like the Apollo – I think of the old cartoons where the big hook would just yank you off the stage. But he got his points in. All right, trade Andrews, second-round pick, you even getting that sort of thing right now?
And the reason you're not getting it is there's a lot of tight ends in the draft, number one. Number two, his salary is $16 million. So people don't want to deal with that. He's in the last year of his deal. So you got to give him a new deal if you trade for him. So nobody's going to do that. They're going to have him. And, you know, I mean, we talk about it every week if you watch the film. That I don't need to look at stats about his blocking.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's not a blocker. Never been a blocker. So I just don't think, you know, for a fourth-round pick, I'm keeping Mark Andrews. Fourth-round pick because – you trade a fourth-round pick, Andrews leaves. I sit there with a fourth-round pick, and what am I going to get? Not getting Mark Andrews. And I got a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. No. As Jerry Jones said, I'm all in. Yeah, I'm all in this year for the Ravens.
And with Andrews and Lamar, too, I think it's worked both ways where Andrews has made some spectacular catches to help Lamar. And let's not forget, they took Hayden Hurst with their first-round pick that year.
Who's ahead now, of Lamar Andrews.
They took Andrews and Orlando Brown was a third-round pick, too. So they hit a home run outside of Hayden Hurst, who turned out to be somewhat nomadic and injury-prone. What was he in? I don't remember who he was.
Chargers.
And he got hurt, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. All right, if you're on the phones, we'll get you. Got to get this clock integrity thing working. Get the Vinny's draft up, or the rookie breakdown, I should say. We'll hear from Nolan McGraw. Trade Andrews? Okay, I'm not 100% against it, but second-round pick? I don't know if that's a reality thing here. And more, but let's get out to the phones before we bring in Nolan McGraw. Go to Dundalk. It's Billy. Billy, thanks for holding. How you feeling today?
Yeah, man, I'm good. How are you?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I still really understand the Mark Andrews slander. It's kind of, I mean, it's pretty unacceptable, honestly. It's just weird to me. I mean, before this playoff game, without recency bias, I think he's often regarded as a top three tight end. But, I mean, that happened, so whatever. Anyways, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on the upcoming offseason, the draft, and let's say we shore up the offensive line, particularly on the left side. Do you think it's possible we go wide receiver before day three? And if not, who do you like in the free agency market? Thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
All right, Billy. Thanks for holding there.
There's always a lot of depth at wide receiver. I think, according to Mel, and we'll ask John Cooper, too, depth of the draft. You know, is there how many pass rushers, how many safeties, how many corners? Because that's kind of what the Ravens need, and an offensive tackle. So, I mean, to me, those are their needs. They're probably going to need a right tackle. If there was a pass rusher there, I think that would be great. But the other thing that you got 11 picks. You got an outstanding roster. Is this the year that you go up? You find a guy that, you know, you're at 12, 14. You know, there's a guy up there that you really like. When's the last time that they did that, Bob, that they moved up a lot to go get a guy? Were they sitting there when they took Suggs?
they were going to trade with Minnesota, and the Vikings didn't pick up the call, and they lost the draft pick. So that was a Minnesota ooch. They traded up to get Bowler, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and they moved up one spot to get Helody, I know.
Yeah, but they haven't gone 15 spots, not that I recall. Nolan might know because he's younger and smarter.
I mean, unless you count the Lamar moving back up into the first round.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that wasn't an insane
And they
jump.
Kept trading down because that was the Amari Cooper draft. And you were like, draft Cooper. Ravens trade out of that pick.
Yeah.
And draft maybe DJ Moore, I think, was part of that. And then they kept trading down, and it was Hayden Hurst. It's like, all right, great. Then they traded up to get Lamar. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now we're in business. No doubt about it. And then they get Orlando Brown and Andrews. I think Bozeman was in that draft.
Yep.
That was Ozzie Swansong, and it was a pretty strong one at that.
Yeah.
But to your point, Vinny, if you've accumulated all these picks, do we think Deontay Johnson's getting signed at another comp pick to the equation?
No.
But you still have movable pieces to get on up in there and, you know, take what you need. They don't need a quarterback. They don't need a running back.
Right.
Don't need a tight end.
No. No. So, I mean, if there's a guy there that can come in and help, be kind of a – my thought would be maybe – and just got to see the depth of the draft. But if there was a guy and, you know, you're sitting there at 15 and you love that guy and, you know, boom, he comes in and helps us right away, might give it a shot.
Have time for a call, Nolan McGraw. He says yes. Let's go to Cliff in White Marsh. Cliffy, what's up?
Yeah, Vinny, you guys are just talking about a pass rusher and all that. The need for it is so great. You know, as far as turnovers go in the playoffs, they usually start with the quarterback being uncomfortable back there. Fumbles are one thing, but it's really interceptions that do it. The Ravens, you know, it's like three-point shooting, Bob. If you got a poor three-point shooting team, you better damn sure defend the three-point line so you don't get blown out. The same thing with turnovers. If you're going to commit turnovers, you better damn sight turn the other team over a little bit. And I don't know. I don't remember the last time the Ravens in the playoffs have ever generated a turnover. And, Vinny, it's, as far as pass rushers and getting quarterbacks off the spot, in my humble opinion, that's the way to get turnovers. And you got to come up with a guy or find a guy, trade up, whatever you have to do. They need a new blood in there, that somebody that can really rush the quarterback. So that's just my feeling on it, fellas.
All right, Cliff, thank you very much. Yeah, turnovers, I mean, duh, it's one of the things. But to Cliff's point, the Ravens won the turnover battle recently in postseason games. I mean, to the effect of 3-0.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because I believe I read, and again, my memory's not all that great any longer. They're winless when they lose the turnover battle, the Ravens in the postseason, in their history.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, because you more than likely you're on the road. But a good example of that, Bob, is you know, having a defense that can get after the, like Detroit couldn't rush the passer. So Jaden Daniels sat back there, picked him apart all day long. Eagles pressured the heck out of him. He was running for his life all day, and they turned it over 4 times.
Nolan, what do you got over there for us?
Well, I think in terms of a trade, you know, trading up in the draft, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they really like a guy, as Vinny said. But I would almost say, hey, if you got the picks and you want to move them, why not trade him for a guy that's already established? Now, you're probably dealing for a rental. You know, he might only be here for a year, but why take the risk with the draft, especially if you're giving up the capital to move up? Now you really got to hit on that pick. If you do that, trade it for an established piece, a guy who you already know what you're getting. You know what the floor is. They come in a little more of an NFL track record.
What would you like?
Well, the first thing that popped into my head, we're talking pass rusher. He had a texter yesterday that mentioned Max Crosby. He's got 2 years remaining on his deal, so you'd have to pony up a little bit more. But again, Ravens have pushing double-digit draft picks this year. Realistically, got room for, what, 5 or 6 of those guys?
Yeah, the only problem, only problem with the Raiders is got the best tight end in the league.
Oh, Bowers.
Yeah, and then they got Michael Meyer, who they took in the second round.
I'm not suggesting trade Andrews for that. I'm saying draft picks.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
If we're already having the conversation of trading draft picks to move up in the draft, then why not do it for an established player?
And if I'm Pete Carroll and I just took over that job and I'm a defensive guy, I'm not trading my best guy away.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Now, Ravens, 0-12. Postseason history, losing the turnover battle. Last six playoff defeats, they've lost the turnover battle 15-2.
Oof.
Well, there you go. It's like going to a 1-for-40 from the three-point line or committing 6 errors in a baseball game.
And Bob, you can say the drop play by Andrews, too. That's a turnover.
Pretty lost possession.
Yeah.
Lost points. Points on the field. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Vinny's draft breakdown of the 24 class. Buy or sell. Turning up Tuesday. Turn up that money, hopefully, around that time. John Cooper from rlads.com, 12:30. We'll talk about the draft class of 2025.